I forgot to grab my mic. There it is. Hi, everyone. Happy Sunday evening. It's really good to see everyone. Tonight we're here for Holy Spirit Guides. That's the time that we look at the messages that Holy Spirit gave me to help me. The personal messages, I guess, similar to Helen's personal messages. I have a link to the first personal message that we're going to look at. I just posted the link in the room. The name of it is, Do I Want the Problem or the Answer? That's the name of the message. Do I Want the Problem or the Answer? So what I'm going to do is take a drink of water. Don't ask me why I didn't do it in advance. I know I could have, but I didn't. So I'm going to take a drink of water, and then we'll go into prayer. How's that sound? Okay, first, the water. And now the prayer. Here we go. Holy Spirit, the last thing that I saw before I closed my eyes was a name on the board called Just Give Me Light. Just Give Me Light. I know, Holy Spirit, that the light is. I know, Holy Spirit, that I cannot ask you to give me light while I choose to hold on to my ego thoughts, my ego beliefs. I know, Holy Spirit, that A Course in Miracles teaches that my job is to work with you to remove the obstacles to love's presence, or to remove the obstacles to the light. So when we say, Holy Spirit, just give me light, what we are truly doing is giving our willingness to be led by you, to see these obstacles and have these obstacles removed. Because as long as we cling to them, we are unaware of the light that is. Just give me light, Holy Spirit. Guide me. I give my willingness to listen and follow. Amen. All right, and there's Just Give Me Light. One. Okay, so I gave you guys the link. It looks like one more person, however, has entered the room already. So I will paste the link again. There we go. And what I'm going to do is just read the question I had for Holy Spirit and then read the answer. And whatever is given in my mind to share with you all as I'm doing this, I will do. So here we go. This was my question. It looks like this was probably around March 26th or so in 2006. Here's the question I asked Holy Spirit. Holy Spirit, A Course in Miracles asks us to ask this question. Do I want the problem or the answer? What would you share regarding this question? And here is the Holy Spirit's answer. This question is the same as many other questions. What is it for? What do I truly want? Do I seek illusion or truth? It is a question of purpose, and it is a question that must be kept firmly in your mind in all things. You have decided your purpose. Your purpose is healing. When you keep this purpose in mind, you are clear in all things and you flow effortlessly with joy. But when you forget to remember this purpose, you fall back into a purpose of habit, which is the purpose of self-will, which is a purpose that is separate from the will of God. When you choose a purpose that is separate from God, you are not separated from Him, but you choose to not be aware of your oneness with Him. When you are not aware of your oneness with Him, you believe in lack, and you must become afraid. If you do not stop and remember your purpose when you feel fear, you will delve deeper into your reliance on self-will, and your feelings of separation and fear will seem to spiral downward. Whenever you notice that you are beginning this downward spiral of illusion, stop and ask yourself, do I want the problem or the answer? This will remind you that the problem is not the answer, which will remind you to turn away from self-will and turn to the Holy Spirit. The Holy Spirit will always answer you in every circumstance. If you are willing to surrender self-will and accept His will as the only answer. And that's the entire message. And what I felt to do was read it without stopping. But I do feel to go back and start looking at it again. But I felt just to read the entire flow of the message. So I'm going to go back to the first paragraph now. Again, I asked Holy Spirit, A Course in Miracles asks us to ask this question. Do I want the problem or the answer? What would you share regarding this question? Here's the answer again, the first paragraph. This question is the same as many other questions. What is it for? What do I truly want? Do I seek illusion or truth? It is a question of purpose, and it is a question that must be kept firmly in your mind in all things. The thought that came to my mind as I read this paragraph is that this question, do I want to be the problem or the answer, as well as these other questions, are what I'm going to call compass questions. They're compass questions. As we all know, when you're hiking in the woods or wherever, if you know how to use a compass and you get lost, you get confused, you start to get upset, you start to get frightened, you can pull out your compass. You can find out where north is using the compass, and then you can know which direction you're heading. And if you have any idea which direction you need to go, you can start to find your way out of being lost using the compass. Well, that's what these questions are. They're compass questions. What happens is, and I know you guys know this, this is what we call preaching to the choir, but what happens is our mind gets confused. It gets caught up in ego thoughts, and we forget where we're going. So it's just like being lost in the woods. We forget where we're going. And what Holy Spirit is doing is giving us some compass questions that will help remind us of where we're going, what we're doing, what our purpose is today. And there are four compass questions here. And the truth is, some may resonate better with some people than other questions. Some may resonate one day better with me, and another one may resonate one day better with me. So I may use all of the compass questions at different times. But what's really important about the compass questions is that I stop. I use the question to remind myself of where I'm going. It's like I find that due north. And then I know to start heading in the right direction again. I know to start letting go of the ego thoughts. I know to rest, accept, and trust if that's where I'm at and what I need to do. I know to ask Holy Spirit, what am I to do, what am I to say if that's where I'm at. I know to return to my mantra if that's where I'm at. I know to return to whatever spiritual practice is in my best interest in the moment, and I will be guided in that. And that starts leading me out of the woods of confusion. And again, the first compass question that we're given comes from A Course in Miracles. Do I want the problem or the answer? And maybe you can feel that in your heart. Maybe, if this question resonates with you, you can immediately see how that points you due north again. It reminds you of your purpose, which you forgot for a time when you got lost in the woods. Do I want the problem or the answer? The second compass question is both in A Course in Miracles and the Holy Spirit's interpretation of the New Testament. What is it for? What is it for? What is this thing I'm doing for? What is this thought for? It's a question that leads to discernment. The next question, the next compass question, comes from the Holy Spirit's interpretation of the New Testament. What do I truly want? What do I truly want? Not what do I want at the surface level, which might be I want to scream at this person until they do what I say. But what do I truly want at a deeper level? This should help me go due north again if it's a question that resonates with me. The next question, do I seek illusion or truth? And my mind interprets that for me when I read it. Do I want lies or truth? And when I hear that compass question, do I seek illusion or truth? Again, the answer is obvious to me. And notice Holy Spirit said these are questions that must be kept firmly in our mind at all times, in all things. And that, of course, is because if we forget our compass, if we forget to check our compass, we get lost in the ego thoughts again. Now, Holy Spirit continues with the second paragraph. You have decided your purpose. And this is true, or I wouldn't even be talking to Holy Spirit, right? So you have decided your purpose. Your purpose is healing. When you keep this purpose in mind, you are clear in all things and you flow effortlessly with joy. But when you forget to remember this purpose, you fall back into a purpose of habit, which is the purpose of self-will, which is a purpose that is separate from the will of God. Now, this is an interesting sentence that says, when you keep this purpose in mind, you are clear in all things and you flow effortlessly with joy. My mind, meaning the ego, wanted to argue with that sentence. My mind wanted to say, that's not true. In fact, it kind of wanted to say, that's bullshit. That's bullshit. I've been aware of my purpose and not flowing effortlessly and with joy at the same time. So that sentence is not true. But as soon as I saw my mind want to do that, I asked within, and I saw an answer. The answer was, I would never be upset if I didn't forget purpose, at least for a time. I may get myself into a position of upset and then remember purpose, and now I need to let that memory and the Holy Spirit's guidance lead me back out of the upset. But if I had not forgotten purpose for at least a time, I would not have been guided into the upset by my ego. For a time, I wanted things my way. For a time, I wanted self-will. For a time, I wanted Jasmine to do something specific, or I wanted the world to react in a certain way, or I wanted something. I wanted something. And I got upset. And then I remembered my purpose. So I didn't remain aware of my purpose. I did not keep it in the forefront of my mind in all things, or I could never have gotten upset. So when I keep my purpose in mind, I am clear in all things, and I flow effortlessly with joy. If I find myself upset, it's because I forgot my purpose, and I fell back into the habit of self-will, of wanting from the little I. And that's why a question like, what do I truly want? Or a question like, do I want the problem or the answer? That's why these types of questions are great compass questions. I, in effect, got offline by forgetting my purpose, and these questions bring me back online. Okay, so the third, actually I'm going to lower this and read a little bit. I'm feeling to read what Dove has written. First, Dove wrote, my only purpose is to awaken from the dream of forgetfulness. Let me remember, awakening is the only purpose all my brothers and sisters everywhere are here for. And the second thing Dove wrote was, only a purpose unifies, and those who share a purpose have a mind of one. And he says that comes from A Course in Miracles, chapter 23, section 4. All right, let's go back to Holy Spirit's message. Okay, so the third paragraph. When you choose a purpose that is separate from God, you are not separated from Him. Remember, the truth is always true, right? So you choose a purpose that's separate from God, but you can't actually go against God's will or go against the truth. So you're really stepping into fantasy is all you're doing. When you choose a purpose that is separate from God, you are not separated from Him. But you choose to not be aware of your oneness with Him. When you are not aware of your oneness with Him, you believe in lack, and you must become afraid. When you are not aware of your oneness with Him, you believe in lack, and you must become afraid. Without belief in oneness or knowledge of oneness or at least trust in oneness, we have to believe in less than wholeness. And less than wholeness is lack. And if we believe in lack, then in one form or another we'll become afraid. Many of us will become afraid of financial stories. We're worried we're not going to be okay because the money isn't there or isn't going to be there someday. Many of us become afraid in, I'm going to call it love ways. We worry that somebody is going to cut us off or somehow we're going to be cut off from love. Many of us become afraid in, I had a third one in my mind and it's left. And that was it, thank you, body physical. Many of us become afraid in what I'm going to call health concerns. We get afraid of something making us sick or of some type of injury happening or of dying. And this is all simply because we're not aware of our oneness with God. If we were totally aware of our oneness, we could not have these fears. And the interesting thing is, we are one with God. So the fears are coming from the fantasy that we're not. And then through the power of what we are, we manifest experiences that seem to make the fears be true. And this is all because we're choosing a purpose that is separate from God, which is called self-will, little s, self-will. Holy Spirit continues, if you do not stop and remember your purpose, you will delve deeper into your reliance on self-will, and your feelings of separation and fear will seem to spiral downward. Now, we talked a minute ago about how when I had this little debate within my mind, of course, only the ego was debating. The Holy Spirit just gave me clarity. But I had the little debate in my mind about the sentence above that said, you know, when you're in your purpose, right, you flow effortlessly with joy. And I said, in my mind, that's not true. I've been in purpose and been upset before. I've been in purpose and been afraid before. And then I was reminded that that's not true. That for a time I forgot my purpose, and that's what led to the upset. When we forget our purpose, and then we lead ourselves into upset, I'm going to post the link. I see Clara asking where I'm reading from. There's the link right there. When we forget our purpose and we lead ourselves into upset, the upset can actually be useful. What the upset can do is wake us up from our forgetfulness. Instead of judging ourselves for becoming upset, or instead of judging ourselves for forgetting our purpose, we can use the upset to wake ourselves up. And when we wake ourselves up, we can then immediately use one of these compass questions. What do I truly want? Do I want the problem or the answer? Do I seek illusion or truth? And if I ask one of these compass questions, I can bring myself back online, back to due north, let go of whatever I need to let go of, and seek the Holy Spirit's guidance. And this is going to start straightening things out for me. But if I do not do that when I find the upset, when I see the upset is going to come with some kind of a story. whatever it is that we fear in the moment, whatever it is that we are judging in the moment, whatever it is, it's going to come with some kind of story. And if I don't become aware of the upset as an alarm clock that I've gone off path, off purpose, and if I start listening to whatever the ego is saying, I am going to spiral downward. My upset is going to become more and more and more. So it's really interesting. When we become upset, we have a choice. We can listen to the stories of upset in our mind and get more upset, more fearful, more guilty, more angry, whatever. Or we can use the upset like an alarm clock. Use the upset to make us aware that we forgot our purpose. We stepped back into self-will. And then ask ourselves a compass question to bring ourselves back to due north. I'm reminded right now of a story that Laurent shared. He shared this story when we were at Pathways of Light a couple of years ago, year and a half ago. He was he talked about the time when he was flying to Boston from France to meet me. He was meeting me to go to Camp for Miracles in New Hampshire. And he had taught with me before in Pal Talk, but he'd never taught with me before at a conference. And he was going to meet me in Boston, and then we were going to drive up to New Hampshire, and he was going to teach with me at a conference for the first time. What happened is, I guess from what the way he told the story, is that there was some kind of a strike, some kind of an airline strike in France. And because of the strike, the plane did not take off on time. And he was attached to this idea of coming to New Hampshire and teaching with me. And so as the plane began to get delayed, he began to get upset. But then what happened was Laurent noticed his upset. He noticed his upset. And he actually used one of these compass questions. He asked, "What do I truly want? Do I want the plane to be on time? Or do I want to awaken?" And this question brought him back to due north. It brought him back online so that he was able to relax and happily accept the situation exactly what it was, because he remembered what he wanted. And yeah, Mary Ellen's now going to the next thing that happened. The next thing that happened is when he got onto the plane. Laurent, if you know Laurent, he's tall. He has long legs. He loves to sit in the exit row. What he loves is first class. But if he can't get first class, he loves to sit in the exit row. And he tried to request the exit row, and it wasn't available for him, and they put him in coach. And he began to get upset. In fact, I don't even remember. He might have even been in the middle seat, but I don't remember for sure. I do know he was in coach. And he began to get upset. I mean, we're talking about a flight from Paris to Boston. Not an hour flight, you know. And now he's going to be all cramped for this entire flight. 8 hours is what Zoe's telling me. So, and then, once again, his upset woke him up. And once again, what he asked was, "What do I truly want? Do I want leg room, or do I want to awaken?" And again, the question, you can feel it in your heart, or at least I can, and Laurent can feel it in your heart. So asking the question, "What do I truly want? Do I want leg room, or do I want to awaken?" It brought him back to due north. And he was able to relax and enjoy the flight. Now, in either of those cases, if he had chosen to, he could not have let his upset awaken him. And he could have, you know, with the legroom thing, sat there being angry at whoever he wanted to blame for not getting in legroom. And he could have been angry for 8 hours on that flight and had a miserable flight, listening to ego all of the way. He could have spiraled downward. But if we forget our purpose for a time and we follow our desire for self-will, our desire for legroom, and we notice the upset, we can use the upset like an alarm clock to bring us back We can ask a compass question, get focused on due north, and have a different experience than the one we are about to have. And the interesting thing is the choice is ours. So again, when you choose a purpose that is separate from God, you are not separated from Him, but you choose to not be aware of your oneness with Him. When you are not aware of your oneness with Him, you believe in lack and you must become afraid. If you do not stop and remember your purpose, you will delve deeper into your reliance on self-will, and your feelings of separation and fear will seem to spiral downward. So those are your choices. It's kind of funny, huh? Which one do you want? Which one do you want? Do you want the problem or the answer, right? What do you truly want? The next paragraph. Hi, Ivy, by the way. The next paragraph. Whenever you notice that you are beginning this downward spiral of illusion, stop and ask yourself. So again, let the upset wake you up, right? Let the upset wake you up. Whenever you notice that you are beginning this downward spiral of illusion, stop and ask yourself, do I want the problem or the answer? This will remind you that the problem is not the answer. That's an interesting sentence. This will remind you that the problem is not the answer. Which will remind you to turn away from self-will and turn to the Holy Spirit. And that's what Laurent did in both of those cases. His self-will wanted the plane to be on time. But when he remembered what he truly wanted, he was able to turn away from self-will and return to the Holy Spirit. Same thing with the legroom. His self-will wanted legroom. But when he remembered what he truly wanted, he was able to turn away from self-will and turn to the Holy Spirit. Now the last paragraph of this message says, the Holy Spirit will always answer you in every circumstance. Doubt regarding that thought is belief that we're separate from God, and it is belief in lack. And it will cause great fear. If you believe that you cannot hear the Holy Spirit, or that you are not good enough for the Holy Spirit to help you, and you follow that thought, you're going into a downward spiral. Sometimes people have a lot of difficulty stepping out of that specific downward spiral because they're listening to the belief that there really is no help, that they really are separate, and they become very, very afraid. But I ask everyone to notice that whenever you're afraid, whenever you're upset, it is because the ego has your ear now. That's the problem. You are listening to the ego and believing it, and you're going down, down, down. So it's a great time to ask the compass question, do I want the problem or the answer? Do I want the problem? Do I want to continue to believe that I'm separate from God? Do I want to continue to believe that I can't hear Holy Spirit? Do I want to continue to believe that Holy Spirit would not help me? Or do I want the answer? Which begins with letting go of these thoughts. And I do talk to a lot of people who believe, and I highlight the word believe, that they do not hear Holy Spirit. And I'll tell you, that's just not true. Maybe you don't experience Holy Spirit in words in the way that I did in order to write this message. That could be your experience. I agree with that. It doesn't mean you don't hear Holy Spirit. One way that we all hear Holy Spirit is through A Course in Miracles, through the Holy Spirit's interpretation of the New Testament, through these personal messages that I'm sharing with you now. We hear Holy Spirit in whatever form is helpful to us, but we all hear Holy Spirit. One time when I was feeling extreme fear, this is when I had sold my house in Boston, was moving to North Carolina, and could not find a house there. And I really began to fear some kind of ultimate doom. In fact, my belief at the time was that I had majorly screwed up by following this guidance to quit my job and move to North Carolina. My thought at the time was that I had had a really good life, and I threw it away for this spiritual crap. If I remember correctly, those were the thoughts in my mind. I had a really good life, and I threw it away for this spiritual crap. I mean, how stupid could I be? I'd been smarter than that. Why? How stupid could I be? And what happened for me that day, I mean, I was really scared. I can't tell you guys how scared I was. I was really scared. I was like laying on bed in the fetal position. Some of you guys know this fear. I noticed Donna says she can relate. And what happened in my mind is that the lowest thought I had, the lowest I went that day, was that thought, how could I be so stupid? How could I throw away a good life for this spiritual crap? It was like the biggest screw up I'd ever done in my mind. And then the next thing I heard, and it came like a memory. The next thing I heard was a memory from A Course in Miracles. It was, I am not the victim of the world I see. And the next thing I heard, another memory was, the ego knows the weakest spot in your armor. I just remembered two sentences that I read. Some of you do this all of the time, and yet you say you don't hear Holy Spirit. That was Holy Spirit. The memory of those two sentences from those two books turned my attention from that spiraling downward thought process to a new thought process that began to lead me back up again. Just a memory of two sentences from two books I read, that was the Holy Spirit. And I began to have hope again. I began to have hope that this wasn't spiritual crap. I began to have hope that I was being guided by something very, very real and something that could help me right now. Monica is asking, what was the second sentence? The second sentence was from Peace Pilgrim, and it was, the ego knows the weakest spot in your armor. And what that really said to me when I remembered that sentence was that what was happening now is that I was frightened of not having security. And ego knew I was frightened of not having security. And it was taking advantage of that right now to just really get me scared, really get me caught up in listening to it. And it almost led me to quit the spiritual path and see it as hogwash and go back, if I could, to my old life. So again, after those two sentences, what happened is my hope returned, my hope that it wasn't spiritual crap. And really, hope is what I would call it at that point. Hope, not even trust yet, just hope. But it gave me hope that I hadn't been listening to spiritual crap, but I'd been listening to something real. And it gave me hope that that something real could help me. But I was still way too frightened to sit down and ask a question and write a message like the one we're reading now. I couldn't do that. I was way too scared. So what I did, and this was actually the first time I ever did this, so this probably was guidance as well, this idea. Many of you have done it many times, so it doesn't sound like anything big at all. I said a prayer. And I said, Holy Spirit, I cannot hear you now, but I need help. I picked up A Course in Miracles, and I said, I'm going to open this book randomly. Please help me to open it to exactly what I need to read now. I'd never done the random opening thing before. That was my first time. But I said that prayer, I asked for help, and I opened it, and you guys know the rest of the story, right? It was absolutely perfect. It said to me what I needed to hear right then so that I could get out of that bed, walk upstairs, and let the healing process continue. And the funny thing is, what really scared me was that I couldn't find a house. This just seemed to be the situation that prompted the fear, the deep, deep fear. 2 hours later, I found a house. 2 hours later. So nothing was ever wrong. I was just listening to ego in my mind. So again, this last paragraph says, the Holy Spirit will always answer you in every circumstance. Maybe you don't have the experience of asking Holy Spirit a question and having a message come into your mind to answer you. But that does not mean that you don't hear Holy Spirit, and that does not mean that Holy Spirit is not there to help you and guide you in whatever way you will listen. It may be a friend that calls on the phone and says the right thing. It may be an email that comes into your inbox and says the right thing. It might be asking a spiritual teacher or coach for help and they say the right thing. But the form is meaningless. It's all listening to Holy Spirit. Every one of us hears Holy Spirit, and multiple forms of Holy Spirit are provided so that we can all hear Holy Spirit in whatever way is helpful to us now. So the Holy Spirit will always answer you in every circumstance if you are willing to surrender self-will and accept His will as the only answer. So what I'm going to do is just let go of the mic for a second, see if anybody has anything they want to share about this message, and if so, we'll listen and follow that. If not, then we'll just go to the next message on reginadonacres.com. Here's the mic. Does anybody want it? Oops. There's a hand up right here in my own house. So I'm going to get out of my chair and stand up for a second and let Zoe sit and speak.
I just realized that I start to hear Holy Spirit or have always heard Holy Spirit, but ego would be sort of telling me that I should be feeling pain, or the world was sort of telling me that this is the way it is and life is this way, but Holy Spirit was always talking to me. And now I realize that really my mind is Holy Spirit most of the time if the ego doesn't get in my way or what I believe the world to be. Hi, Monica. I guess that's, did that make any sense?
Yeah.
Okay.
All right. I noticed Cliff has his hand up, so I will let go of the mic so that Cliff can pick it up.
Cliff, no sound. Try it again.
Okay, Cliff, I'm sure you know there was no sound, so you just say never mind. Okay, then there we go. If you can get that fixed, or if there's something that you want to type in, that's fine. If not, you know, never mind is fine too. Does anybody else have anything they want to share before I go to whatever the next message is? Okay, Dove wants to talk. Yay! Here we go. And then we'll try Cliff again. Dove, take it away.
All right, thank you so much, Regina. What a wonderful topic here. Always remembering our purpose, because that's really what keeps us honest, is exactly as you were saying. I remember having a conversation with you about 2 or 3 years ago over the phone, and I always think of that conversation, and I think there was a conversation where you and I were speaking, and you said that basically I've been learning the course from an intellectual way of looking at it, and that was definitely true at the time. I remember saying, yes, that's true. But as I step back from that, and actually what I really speak about now is trust, and actually listen, learn, and trust, recognizing that that's what Jesus is really asking us to do, is to recognize how much God is always with us. God is always with us. There's never a time that he's not. And it's been so long since we have ever trusted anyone or anything. We've been suspicious, you know, at best, always doubting our brothers and sisters, until exactly as you were mentioning, purpose, as Lorenz said, you know, what am I really here for? Am I here to wake up, to remember what I am? Because if I'm deceived in my brother, I'm certainly deceived in myself. What I have noticed for myself now that I'm back on a track of recognizing that Holy Spirit is guiding me, is I have always been guided by Holy Spirit. Yes, I'm a witness to, I do not hear voices. As Jane Darcy likes to say, I don't hear voices. I don't have a lot of letters after my name. I haven't written any books. But I've always been led by Holy Spirit. There's never been a time I haven't been led by Holy Spirit. I just wasn't aware of it. And it's that second guesser that comes up and says, oh, and gives you all those stories, all those reasons, all that second judgment. You can call it a Monday morning quarterback. Oh, we shouldn't do this, and couldn't, you know, you shouldn't, and you keep shooting on yourself. But in truth, and if you look at that workbook lesson 135, paragraph 18, which is the longest lesson in the course, what Ken Wapnick calls the atonement lesson. If I defend myself, I'm attacked. And, of course, only the ego is thinking of defense. What could you not accept? What could you not accept if you but knew that everything that happens, all events, past, present, and to come, are gently planned by one whose only purpose is your good? Spirit accepts, always knowing all his purpose, all is perfect. Ego is always resisting, always throwing a monkey wrench, exactly as you spoke about, you know, the idea just 2 hours before finding the house on Random Drive, you know, that's when the ego would find the weakest link in our armor and tell us how stupid we were, how silly, how this, how that. And whenever you hear any of that, that's the ego. Holy Spirit loves you. Sees you as perfect, sees everything that you do as perfect, that everything is for you. Ego says, that's not for you. Okay, thank you so much, Regina, for letting me share.
Thank you, Dove. It was absolutely perfect. Cliff, your turn.
Okay, how about now?
Yep.
Now?
Yep.
Do we have sound? Okay. Earlier today, I was at a yoga class, and the teacher asked, does anybody have any requests for poses at the beginning? And I said, I raised my hand. I said, yes, Uji breath. And she goes, oh, good, good. That's a good thing to do. And for those of you that don't know, Uji breath is where you inhale, it sounds like the ocean, and you exhale, it sounds like the ocean receding, coming in and out on the beach. And so I was like mindful, because earlier during church, I was doing the Uji breath, and it was working. It's like the chatter would come in, and it was like, yeah, when are you going to run, blah, blah, blah. And I would just practice that Uji breath, and it was like all of a sudden I'd be centered. And so I tried that during yoga, and it was funny how quickly I would forget to do that, and like being like a downward facing dog. And fortunately, the teacher would remind us in every pose, now this is a perfect spot to do your Uji breath. And it was kind of like holding the mouse down on the press to talk button. It's like I had to be vigilant and just focusing on my breathing and being present, because the minute I let my finger off the mouse, the minute I stopped focusing, the chatter would jump right in.
Yeah, thanks. That's a perfect example of, you know, the minute we forget our purpose, the chatter's right back in. That's just an example of that. Monica, I see your hand. Please take the mic.
Hi, everybody. Thanks, Regina and Dove and Cliff, everybody, for sharing. I too, if I look back, you know, as Dove was saying, really have always been led. And I'll just give you an example, and it's, you know, kind of from my past life. So I'm like living in Amsterdam, and I'm strung out on heroin, and someone tried to kill me. It was in March, because it was Easter, and someone threw me in the canal. And if you've been there, you know that many of the canals, and this is, you know, in the winter, and the canal, the wall is so high, I have no way out, and I'm wearing a leather jacket and sweaters, and, you know. Well, anyway, what happened was that, to be honest with you, there was a woman who was a lady of the night, and she was working, had a client in the car, and I was screaming, help, help, help. I didn't know they were up there. I was screaming, help, help, help. And she told me later that, you know, she heard me screaming help, and her John said, no, that's the ducks. And she said, no, 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 someone's screaming for help. He actually had to lower her by her ankles, and she reached down for me, and I was, retrieved out of the canal. So anyway, what ended up happening was that I developed pneumonia, and I was very sick, and was in the hospital for a while, I don't know, days, 10 days or something. And I was released from the hospital, and I had nowhere to go. I was sick. And I just sat on the stoop, on the curb. And I remember just thinking, like, I just have nowhere to go. And another lady of the night, actually that I had met before, who was a fellow drug addict, she said to me, you know, you can come and stay in the building that I stay in. And, you know, it turned out it was in an abandoned building. But I was able to, like, get a room in the abandoned building. So, you know, I mean, it was, if I look back, I mean, in one way, it's like, well, gee, your needs weren't met. But on the other hand, like, they were. You know, I always got what I needed. It might have been in a very rough way. And I've evolved, and I've come to a place where things don't need to be. Dove talks about it, the crash and burn. Things don't need to be so brutal. You know, I don't have to learn my lessons in such a difficult way. And lastly, I'll just say that, you know, I guess I don't usually use the word that I'm being led. I don't hear the voice per se, although I do. It's not necessarily audible, but there is a voice. What I usually feel is prompted. I feel prompted to make my next move. And so that, you know, to me is Holy Spirit guiding me. And so anyway, thank you for letting me take the mic. And gosh, you know, gather rocks. I can't tell you how much I get out of ACIM Gather. Thank you.
Yeah, we all misunderstood the gather rocks until you continued. We thought you were going to tell us, you know, pick up rocks, you know, at the beach. Gather rocks. And then we got it. Then we got it as a cheer, right? Ah, ACM gather rocks. Yeah, now we get it. But yeah, I've noticed several people actually are commenting on the word prompted, right? On the word prompted. This is how a lot of people hear Holy Spirit is prompted. And Scott, I'm going to turn the mic over to you in just a second. Before I do, I want to share a story that reminds me of what Monica just said. Because Monica talked about, again, depending on how you're looking at it, you might say her needs were not met, right? You might see, you know, the girl has pneumonia. She ends up having to stay in an abandoned building. And, you know, to some of us, depending on how we choose to look at it, it might not look so good. But I appreciate that Monica recognizes that she was led by Holy Spirit and that her needs were provided for. It reminds me of a story in Peace Pilgrim's book where she is walking, I think, in New Mexico. And, you know, if you know Peace, you know she doesn't have a coat or anything. She walked with the weather, so she would not need a coat. She went south in the winter and north in the summer. But at this time in New Mexico, a surprise kind of out-of-season snowstorm came, which can happen there. And it was a blizzard, actually. And she talks about how the snow was just packed around her feet, and her feet was turning into blocks of ice where she could hardly pick them up and trudge. And, in fact, she thought she was going to die that night. But actually, the funny thing is she was in acceptance of it. And then she had, like, a vision where she saw a woman that she knew who had already passed. And the woman told her, no, it was not her time. You know, she wanted peace to really let go of the idea and the acceptance of dying because it was not her time. And as soon as the vision ended, Peace saw a bridge, and underneath the bridge was a great big old box, like maybe a moving box or something, and inside of it there was a newspaper. And she crawled inside the box under the bridge and covered up with the newspaper, and then she says, even there my needs were provided for. So I really appreciate that Monica and Peace recognize how Spirit takes care of us. All right, Scott, the mic is yours.
I just wanted, I was in the other room working and thinking of what you guys were saying, and I was wondering, how do I experience this Holy Spirit? And on the last week that we've been reading chapter 30, a couple times, it's your will is actually the Holy Spirit. And when you trust that will be done, then the Holy Spirit just works through you. And so for me, I was thinking, geez, maybe it's actually in the trust, just in the turning over, and the Holy Spirit is what I am doing, whatever I am doing when I'm really trusting. That came to me. So, thanks.
His name is Scott. Hi, Scott. I notice, of course, Ruby is saying, yes, trust. But I also just wanted to let you know that there are two people in the room that are echoing that yes. As soon as you said that word, trust, I heard, I think probably Debbie first saying yes, yes. And then I heard Zoe saying yes, yes. So that really resonated. And I noticed Donna is also saying yes. Does anyone else have anything they want to share, or shall we go to the next message? All right, then. Let me grab you a link. This is the next message that we're going to look at. There's your link. The name of the message. Ah! The joke's on us, guys. The name of the message is A Meditation on Trust. Yeah, that's funny, don't you think? A Meditation on Trust. And I will tell you, this message was given to me, but not directly for me. Remember we said one way that you sometimes might hear Holy Spirit if you is through another person, maybe through a teacher or through a coach or even through a book. This was a person who actually had an extremely rough life. In fact, to be honest, she might not be alive now, and that would have come about through, I'm going to say, her own abuse on herself. I don't know what happened. This is a person who did not continue the counseling and disappeared. But at this time, disappeared from my awareness. But at this time, she was wanting to learn to trust. And she was so fearful. You know, for some people, trust is not easy. And she was one of those people. So she asked me to help her with that, and so I went to Holy Spirit and I asked for help for her. And this is the message that was given, which for a time was actually very helpful for her, for a time. So what I'm going to do is just read this message. It was really to a specific person, but what I really appreciated, because this message would not have done it for me, to be honest. Would not have done it for me, but it did do it for her for a time. And what I really appreciate is how Holy Spirit, again, answered her very specifically through me, because that was a form she would accept. But again, she was given exactly the answer that she needed. So I'm going to read this meditation on trust, and maybe for some of you, in fact, Monica also said gather rocks, and we misunderstood that at first, but I think you're going to find this is actually kind of about gathering rocks. I'm gathering a pebble of trust, actually. So here we go. Let's read a meditation on trust. Trust. There is a pebble of trust within your heart and mind. It is this pebble you must find now. See it as a shining pebble of light, lying peacefully below the rough currents of fear and confusion that are running through you. Close your eyes and imagine a stream. Imagine the currents under the surface of the water. They may seem rough. Now, look for the pebble. You will see it, no matter how murky the water or how rough the currents. You will see it because it is a pebble of light. When you find the pebble, dive for it. Notice that the water is cool and wet, but it is nothing that can hurt you. Stay focused on the pebble of light. You may feel a pull from the underwater current, but notice now that the pebble seems to have a gentle current of its own. Keep your eyes on the pebble. Notice how it pulls you toward it. You still feel the undercurrent in the water, but it seems to have no effect on you. It is the pebble that you are moving toward now. Your movement is effortless and peaceful. You seem to have transformed into a mermaid, and you are beginning to realize that the pebble is somehow a part of you. Reach out for the pebble. Pick it up. Notice how it feels in your hand. Notice how strong you feel as you hold it. Notice that you feel lighter and more peaceful. Tuck the pebble away in a small pocket near your heart and swim back to the surface of the water. As you swim up through the undercurrents, notice that you pass swiftly and smoothly through them. You reach the surface of the water. You burst out of the water with a sense of joy and rightness. You begin to float carelessly with the water as you take the pebble of light out of your pocket and examine it. You are not sure where the waters are taking you, but the pebble seems to look ahead in confidence. So you do too. Somehow, you notice that you have become one with the pebble. You share its trust, confidence, and peace. You are willing for what comes, no longer desiring to fight because you are no longer afraid. You are filled with trust. You know things are unfolding for your own best interest. You put your thinking aside and trust. Trust fills your mind, and you are grateful for it. You let go of attempts to control. You trust. You notice that you don't need the pebble anymore. It has given you everything it had to give, but you keep it anyway. The pebble is now a symbol of what you have become. Isn't that gorgeous? Scott is saying, I just had the questionable image of Teddy Poppy as a mermaid. Yeah. And but this worked perfect for that lady. In fact, I don't remember her exact comment now, but what I recall is the mermaid actually was very important to her. For somehow, you know, some of us will have attachments or identifications with different animals or whatever, And she felt very identified with the mermaid, and I didn't know that. I was unaware of that. So when she heard about the mermaid, she knew Spirit was speaking directly to her through me. And she knew this message was for her. And like I said, it worked for a time. But what happened for her... what happened for her is she got caught up in the stories again. She got very, very caught up and, in fact, took herself in that downward spiral to a point where she truly needed help in the world. She needed to be committed for a time. And she refused to be committed for a time. And she quit counseling. And she was, to be honest, nearing death then anyway. So unless something else happened that I'm not aware of, it is possible that she went on from this life. But we all know that that means she'll have another chance. And also, I really trust that we don't ever forget anything that we learn from Holy Spirit. You know, it says in NTI that we cannot go backwards. Now, what we can do is we can forget our purpose. We can get back into self-will. And we can seem to spiral downward, downward, downward. And this particular woman is an excellent example of doing that. She really spiraled downward. And maybe our life even ends as a result. You know, maybe we commit suicide or, you know, abuse ourselves in the way she was. Maybe we don't. Maybe we continue living and something happens here that makes us turn back. But whether it's in this lifetime or some other type of life, some other lifetime, whenever we ask ourselves the compass questions that we read before or something similar, what do I truly want? Do I want the problem or the answer? When we ask ourselves these type of compass questions, and we bring ourselves back to due north, everything that we ever learned from Holy Spirit, or everything that we ever accepted from Holy Spirit, or every realization that we ever had, we're right back there immediately. We're right back in the same spot where we seem to leave the path, where we seem to forget our purpose. And then we just continue forward. So the gift of this meditation, I am absolutely certain, is with her because she did accept it for a time. And whether it's in this lifetime, if she's still living, or whether it's in another lifetime, when she's ready to come back, she's going to come right back to this point of acceptance. And she's going to, you know, maybe the ideas, the form of the ideas will be different, but she's going to be able to find that pebble of light. And she's going to be able to hold to that pebble of light as long as she needs to. And she's going to learn to step into acceptance, step into trust, that the life that is leading her, the way she's being led through her life, is for her best interest. As Dove said when he was quoting a Course in Miracles earlier, and Dove, I can't remember, I'm the worst quoter in the world, so if you can remind me of the exact words, it was something about if you knew who was walking with you, what is that quote that you always do? Oh yeah, here we go, I found it from Mary Ellen Above. What could you not accept if you but knew that everything that happens, all events, past, present, and to come, are gently planned by one whose only purpose is your good? That was really the idea when she burst forth out of the water and began to float, still on the currents, right? Still on the rough water. But now she had trust. She didn't fear where the water was taking her anymore. She had trust that wherever it was taking her, it was to help her. And so, in the image of the meditation, she no longer needed to try and control things. She was able to just be on the water, wherever the water was going, knowing that all events, past, present, and to come, are gently planned by one whose only purpose is your good. Workbook Lesson 135. So it's a beautiful meditation.
And
yeah, I'm grateful for it. I'm grateful for it. So that, again, is the meditation on trust. And again, I think it's funny how Holy Spirit used all of us, even Monica's ACIM, or actually she just said Gather Rocks. Used Monica's Gather Rocks and used Scott's Choice for Trust as his way of hearing Holy Spirit to bring us into that message. I think it really helped us to appreciate this message a lot more. And it looks like we have 10 minutes left. I don't know what the next message is, how long it is. Here we go. It is called, What is God's Eternal Patience? Ooh, and it's short. Woohoo, we get to do one more. So here's a link to the next message. This was also a message that was not for me. At this time, I don't necessarily do this so much anymore, to be honest. It's not my guidance, necessarily. But at this time, there was a time, I'm not sure it had to do with me building trust. I'm sure it had to do with me building trust. There was a time when people would write to me and ask questions, and I would go within and provide the answer. This was one of the phases that I passed through. So this is a question that a friend of mine asked, if I remember correctly, a friend of mine in Hong Kong. And so here's the question and the answer that I was given. Holy Spirit, what is God's eternal patience? And here is the answer that I was given from my friend. Eternal patience could be called infinite, undying love, or love without conditions. It could be called total acceptance. In your world, everything seems to have an opposite. If there is patience, then there must be at least the opportunity for lack of patience, which is upset. In God, there are no opposites. So there is only the condition of acceptance and love and totality. This could be called patience because it has no opposite. Because it is enduringly true, it is eternal. The term eternal patience is used with you to help you accept your own total acceptance, regardless of what you may seem to believe within illusions. Illusions are not true, and so they have no effect on the eternal condition of truth. This unchanging and undying love and acceptance is what is symbolized in the idea of God's eternal patience. It's interesting because this message talks about unchanging and undying love and acceptance. And when we think of patience in the world, we do think of patience as having a limit. I can be patient to a point. But at some point, if you don't straighten up or give me what I want, my patience will end, and in some way I will come down on you. I will get angry at you. I will have grievance with you. God. I will be annoyed with you. Oh, God, Jasmine says. And as a child, that's a horrible fear, isn't it, Jasmine, that your mom will lose her patience? So Jasmine said, oh God, what a horrible thought that my mom would lose her patience. And that's actually the thought that we have with God. Because we aren't healing fast enough, are we, people? We're slow and we're stupid and we don't listen good enough, or Holy Spirit tells us, and we don't practice, you know? And at some point, God is going to lose its patience. We're going to push too far. But what this message talks about is eternal patience, which really isn't patience at all. That's just a symbol for us. Eternal patience is unchanging and undying love and acceptance. That means acceptance even of our not practicing perfectly what Holy Spirit asks us to practice. Acceptance of that, along with undying love, unchanging love. This is not truly patience we see. It's just what God is. But that's what eternal patience symbolizes. It was nice that we had such a short message, and I think what I'm going to do now is, you know, again, assuming my CD player will play along, I'm going to play a song So everybody fast on your keyboards. I'm going to let you pick first, whichever one I see first. Oops, we got a 12 already. Now I need another number for the song. 12 and 4. They're getting good at this, aren't they? Woo! Okay, 12 and 4. Everybody else, you know, didn't make it this time, but there will be another time. Maybe.
They just pick random numbers.
Yeah, they're just typing in random numbers. And maybe one day what I'll do is, like, radio stations started doing, like, I will take the third caller instead of the first one. But this time I'm going to go with the 12 and 4 because that's what I said. Here, Jasmine, you want to look through this half of the pile? It will help me go faster. We're looking for CD number 12. One. Let me know when you find 12. Of course, Jasmine sees better than I do, so she's doing this much faster than me. Oops, I didn't find 12. Did you find 12? I wonder if 12 is like in the car. Okay, how about then let's go down. Let's move down one. Sorry, number 12, we couldn't find it. But let's go down to 4, and then we'll take 11. So find CD number 4. You guys feel like you're playing bingo? I found 4. Here's 4. And then we're going to go with song number 11, Stephanie Roy's number. Jesus' song is the name of it. Jesus' song. So now we're going to put it in the CD player. This is like roulette. We'll see if the CD player decides to play. Clicking.
Bingo and roulette.
Bingo and roulette. We're definitely gambling, Zoe. Can you handle that?
I sure can. I have no problem gambling.
Okay, still thinks of no death. So we lost our first game of roulette. But what's a gambler do when they lose? Play again, right? No, we play again. So I'm putting the CD in the CD player again. And let's see if it will. I definitely need a new CD player. There's just no doubt about it. This thing is on its last leg. But we can't buy anything before Christmas, you know. That's just not okay. I don't know, Zoe, you may have to come over here and sing to them. It still says no disc. Okay, we'll try it one more time, and then if not, I'm just going to give up because we're running out of time here. That's what happens when you gamble. You don't always win. Okay, we got a 1. Now we just need to advance it to 11. Go ahead. I'm going to go forward to 11. Make sure you push the plus sign, not the minus sign. Can you see, Jasmine? Right, here's the plus sign. That's the minus sign. Okay, well, I guess we're not going to do it.
Let's sing a Christmas carol.
Okay, come over here and sing with me. What do you want to sing?
I don't know. Think of something that we know the words.
Jingle bells?
Jingle bells.
Okay.
You guys sing too in the back.
Special treat. Oh, my God. Regina and Zoe singing
are they all
jingle bells.
Off now?
This may be a good time to go to the bathroom.
I'm going to go see ya.
Okay. Okay, you ready, Zoe?
Mm-hmm.
Okay. Mm-hmm. 1, 2, 3. She goes, I can't even do that. 1, 2, 3.
Jingle bells, jingle all the way. Oh, what fun it is to ride in a one-horse open sleigh. Hey, jingle bells, jingle bells, jingle all the way. Oh, what fun it is to ride in a one-horse open sleigh. Dashing through the snow in a one-horse open sleigh. Over all the fields we go, laughing all the way. Ha, 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 bells on bobtails ring, making spirits rise. What fun it is to laugh and sing the sleighing song tonight. Oh, jingle bells, jingle bells, jingle all the way. Oh, what fun it is to ride in a one-horse open sleigh. Hey, jingle bells, jingle bells, jingle all the way. Oh, what fun it is to ride in a one-horse open
I can't go that high, Zoe.
Sleigh.
Well, I don't know how you guys felt about that, but Jamie loved it. She's wagging
Jamie's
her tail.
Jumping all over
She's
me.
Jumping on Zoe, jumping on me, wagging her tail. That was just like the most fun she had. So she thought the rest of the teaching was pretty boring, but that was good. All right, guys, I'm going to let go of the mic. We'll keep asking
Love
Ron for
all.
A CD player.
Mwah.
Mwah. All right. Bye, y'all.